Welcome to the Wellsteading Podcast. This is episode 86. It's February 12th, 2015. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. Here at the Wellsteading Podcast, I try and teach you from what I call the 10 wealth building principles. Now, these are things that I've learned over the course of nearly 30 years of building my own personal wealth. It's where I learned how to earn and then save and then how to invest. And these are the same things that I encourage you to do. I don't believe in get-rich-quick schemes, but I do believe that the American dream is not dead. I believe that it's possible for someone in America to start out with nothing, and within a period of 10 or 20 years, they can be financially independent. Don't believe me? Look around at the immigrants that come to this country that don't speak the language, that have, in many cases, nothing more than the clothes on their back, and within a generation or so, they become wealthy. And that's the story of America. It's happened again and again for millions and millions of people. Now remember, this podcast isn't all about building wealth. It's really about personal freedom. I started this podcast because I was frustrated on Independence Day on July 4th, 2014. I was upset with a lot of the things I was hearing in the financial media. I didn't like the way I felt people were being manipulated. The media message is always boom or bust. It's always that things are great, things are wonderful, invest, invest, buy, buy. Or it's no, things are gloomy, the world's falling apart, sell, sell. And that's not the way it is. Generally, things are pretty stable. And that stability in the U.S. stock market creates the opportunity that if you're disciplined and if you're persistent, you can trade on the margins and make a significant amount of money. So that's why I started this podcast. I wanted people to know, particularly people that are either just starting out in life or people that are in the middle class, that they have a chance. They have an opportunity. They need to work hard. They need to learn how to earn a living. Whether that's being an employee from somebody else or starting your own business, you got to find a way to create a wage, to create an income. And then you have to be disciplined. You have to save that income. You have to save a considerable amount, somewhere in excess of 10 or 20%. And that takes discipline, but you can do it. And if you do that for a period of years, decades in some cases, then you'll be able to build up the wealth. And at that point, you can become an investor. You can invest in real estate. You can invest in stocks. You can invest in bonds. You can buy private businesses. There's a lot of things you can do with the money, but you have to first have the money. Wall Street and the banking system and financial companies, they want everybody to think that they're investors when they don't have any money to invest. They want to sell you on false dreams and false hopes so that they can charge you fees. That was part of my frustration, and again, one of the reasons why I started this podcast. But I want to reiterate, and I try and do this on every episode, it's not all about the money. I like to say that money may not buy happiness, but it can buy freedom. Now, there's a lot of truth and wisdom in that statement. The reason that I want you to attain personal wealth is so that you can attain personal freedom. I want you to be able to do what you were put on this earth to do. I believe in the distribution of labor and the fact that some people are better at things than other people. And I think our economy and our whole world would work better if everybody was doing what they were the best at, what they were the greatest at, what they were put on this earth for. But you're only going to be able to do that if you're a free man or woman. And to become free, you have to have money. So in a nutshell, that's it. That's why I started this podcast. That's why I freely share my 10 wealth building principles with you. That's why I try and teach you those principles. Not so you can come here every day and hear what I think, but so that you can learn to think for yourself. Now, today's episode is not going to be any exception. In fact, today, I want to focus on wealth building principles number 6 and number 7. And that's profit from trends and profit from nature. Now, we're going to talk about these two principles in light of current events, what's going on right now in the global economy. Now, as I've been saying for the past couple weeks, I'm invested in certain European stocks. These are Western European stocks, mostly the central part of Western Europe. I'm focused on companies and countries that are benefiting from the strong U.S. dollar and weak oil prices. That means that countries that export to the United States are going to do better. And that means that countries that don't rely on a lot of their own domestic production of oil are going to do better. So for example, Saudi Arabia exports a lot to the United States, but they export a lot of oil. So right now, this is not a good time for Saudi Arabia. Canada is also a large exporter to the United States. Now, Canada has a much more diverse economy than Saudi Arabia, but at the end of the day, they still export a significant amount in oil and petrochemical type products, and generally in overall commodities. And commodities, unfortunately, are following the same decline in price as oil. So right now, Canada is also not being favored by the trade. Now, I'm not saying that Saudi Arabia is going to collapse or Canada is going to collapse. That's not the point of this at all. I'm just trying to help you understand how to profit from trends. And the two biggest trends going on right now are strong U.S. dollar, weak oil. So you wouldn't want to be putting your money in Canada and especially not in Saudi Arabia. But there are other countries, particularly some countries in Europe and a few in Asia, that export a lot to the United States. They don't have hardly any domestic oil production, and the products that they export to the United States are value-add type products. Products that they can charge a premium price for, they're just not commodity products. And yet, the cost of those products is going to go down, the production cost is going to go down because commodities and oil prices are going down. So these countries are going to have lower input costs, they're going to configure these commodities into a value-add product, and then they're going to sell them in U.S. dollars, which is a currency that's appreciated over their own local domestic currency. So it's like a win-win-win for these countries. Now, are they going to go up 30%? I don't know. That's not what I'm shooting for, and I'll get to that in a minute. I just, for now, want you to understand, that's what a trend is about. That's how you identify a trend, and that's how you rationally put the pieces together and then identify places to invest in. That's what wealth building principle number 6 is all about. Profit from trends. Now, wealth building principle number 7 is very similar to number 6, and many people wouldn't even separate it. But I separate it out because wealth building principle number 7 is about profiting from nature. That's human nature, and then that's the natural environment. So human nature is things like the government, or fear and greed. And then the mother nature part of profiting from nature is what you would think about normally with natural events. Hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, volcanoes. These things all cause trends. We can see them happen, we can see them occur, and we can then define short and near-term trends, and we can try and make money off of them. Now, what I'd like to talk about in today's episode as it relates to wealth building principle number 7, profiting from nature, I'd like to talk about that in terms of government trends, and specifically the Greece government. Now, again, right now I've told you that I have significant holdings in foreign stocks. Right now I'm invested, I'd say my overall portfolio is probably about 75% invested in the market. Now, some of my clients, that's a little more, some of my clients a little less. So I would consider that pretty much fully in. I'm just, you know, keeping about 25% in reserve, either that will remain in cash, or if I continue to see a trend, we'll put more into the market. But I consider 75%, you know, pretty much fully committed. Now, I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but I think the bulk of that for most of my clients is in foreign stocks, although I do have some significant positions in certain sectors of the U.S. banking business and financial industry. And I'm not going to go into that in this episode, but I also think there's some unfavored areas right now and there's some opportunities from profit. So I am invested in those areas as well. But the bulk of it, I would say, is in foreign stocks. Now, many people have said to me, what are you, crazy? Europe is a disaster. Europe's very unstable. The euro is going to fall apart. There are always, conflicts and instability over there, particularly on the eastern borders of Europe. And people say this because they hear the talking heads, the media, always perpetuating fear and gloom and doom and, you know, all the problem areas. So that's why people think this way. And of course, it is true. The euro may fall apart. I have no idea what's going to happen in 6 months or in 3 years. But I'm pretty confident that over the period of time that I'm investing, which is going to be somewhere between 2 weeks and, say, 3 months, that the euro is probably going to hold up and that World War III isn't going to break out and that there isn't going to be a global or a European monetary collapse. I don't think that's going to happen in the next couple weeks. And I'll get to why in a minute. But that's the important thing that I want you to understand. And don't think that I just throw caution to the wind. If you read my blog, if you have listened to what I've said in the past, or if you've been listening to this podcast since July, you know that I'm a very cautious person. You know that I wasn't in favor of foreign stocks just going back 6 or 7 months ago. In fact, about 14 or 15 months ago, I was into some foreign stocks, and some of the positions worked out, others didn't. It was kind of an unstable time. I got in a little too early, I got out, and then about a year ago, it was about April of 2014, the European stocks in particular had skyrocketed. They were actually doing very well. I was out of them at the time, but I didn't buy in then, because I was concerned about some of the problems over there. In particular, I was worried about Southern Europe. And in particular, I was worried about Greece, as well as Italy, Spain, Portugal, all those places. And again, at this time, and this is going back to April of 2014, the media was just saying about how great and how rosy everything is. And I tend to be a contrarian. When they're telling me how wonderful things are, I'm starting to look for cracks, because I don't believe them. And so I was very concerned with the growth rates. I was very concerned with the deflation. I was very concerned with a lot of the prospects, particularly, again, those countries down in Southern Europe. But we're a year later. Things have stabilized. And the events that I just talked about, these other trends, stronger dollar, lower oil prices, those are extremely favorable for Europe. Since last March or April, the U.S. dollar is up something like 15%. That's a huge advantage for exporters into the U.S. market. Since about that same time, oil prices have come down over 50%. Now, I know they've come up a little bit lately, but not that much, and particularly not when you're talking about Brent. Now, remember, in the United States, we deal in West Texas Intermediate, but the rest of the world, particularly Europe, they deal with Brent crude. And back in early 2014, Brent was priced at something like, I think it varied between $110 and maybe up to $125 a barrel. Now it's like around $50. That's a huge, significant savings, and that's a big change. And so that's why I'm less pessimistic than I was a year ago on Europe. And even just 7 or 8 weeks ago, I was cautious on Europe. I didn't get into Europe at that time because I was worried about Greece. And it wasn't Greece as much as it was the contagion of Greece. Greece is never the problem. Greece is just a small country. It's a very small economy. The problem has always been the contagion. That's if it spreads. If it goes into Portugal and then Spain and then Italy. Well, if that happens, if Italy goes down, if Italy defaults, if Italy goes into a major depression, and remember, these people's economies are not in very good shape. They have very low growth prospects. They have extremely high unemployment. They have very low birth rates. Southern Europe has a lot of debt and not a lot of growth. That's a problem. And that hasn't changed. But the lower oil prices and the higher dollar are going to help that. And then Central and Northern Europe, these are the producers. They benefit extremely well from the strong dollar. And in some cases, the lower oil prices, the people in the central part, they do pretty well. The people, they get oil out of the North Atlantic or up in the Norwegian countries. They're going to be hurting a little bit right now with the decline in oil prices. But they'll make it through. Again, they're in much better shape than a Saudi Arabia. But that central Western Europe, that's the sweet spot right now. They're really going to benefit. They're going to come out of these problems that they've been in. That's the trend. But why I say my enthusiasm and my optimism has grown in these recent weeks is what happened just about 3 weeks ago with the European Central Bank. And this comes back to profiting from nature. And in this case, it's nature as it's affected by human governments, the human nature of governments. Mario Draghi, the president of the European Central Bank, a few weeks ago, he announced that they were going to start the quantitative easing program. Now, we knew that was coming. But what was amazing about it is that it was more than people anticipated. At best, we were hoping for maybe something like $500 billion. So Draghi came out and he announced more than twice what the markets were expecting. And you see, for the previous year, he had been coming out saying he was going to do something. He was basically what we'd call talking down his book. He kept saying, we're going to do this, we're going to take extreme measures, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But no one knew if he really would because he's a big talker. And also because there were some legal ramifications and no one was sure exactly what the European Central Bank could and couldn't do. Remember, the European Union and the European Central Bank, these are quasi-federations. It's not like the United States of America. They don't have one government body and one constitution that governs everybody. It's a bunch of sovereign states. So no one was exactly sure what he was going to be able to get away with. But he pulls a rabbit out of his hat like 3 weeks ago. He's planning to intervene with a significant amount of money into their economy. And that's going to more than bail out any problems that we're going to see from Greece. Now, I'm not saying that what he's doing is a direct bailout to Greece. Don't get me wrong on that. That's going to come later. That's going to be all worked out. But what I'm saying is that he's pumping enough money into the economy in general that whatever kind of road bumps we hit with Greece, it's only going to slow things down. But it's not going to make things fall apart. I don't think it's going to make things spread. I think that right now Greece is very bellicose and they're talking up things and being very belligerent to the European Central Bank and particularly to Germany. But Greece doesn't have any cards to play. I think that Greece will eventually settle on something. I don't know if they'll go bankrupt. I don't know if they'll default. I don't know if they'll leave the European Union. But what I believe is that somehow this will be negotiated out and it'll be happen in such a way that the countries like Germany will have the upper hand and they're going to make it clear to the other countries like Italy and Spain and Portugal that they're responsible for their debts. See, everybody right now is worried about Greece pulling out of the euro. But look at the other side of it. Take it to the other extreme. What if Germany pulls out of the euro? You see, that's the trump card that Germany holds. Germany can go to countries like Italy and Spain and Portugal and say, listen, if you try and pull this contagion thing and you try and go down the path of default like Greece, fine. We'll break up the euro. We'll pull out. We'll go it alone. You see, because who do you think has a stronger economy, Germany or Portugal? Who do you think can better survive on their own, Germany or Portugal? It's kind of like asking, who do you think can survive better, California or New Mexico, right? Which of those states has a better economy? Well, it's the same way with the European Union. And Germany holds all the cards. And so that's why I don't think the contagion is going to spread no matter what happens with Greece. And again, Greece is totally insignificant, particularly after the European Union is committing well over $1 trillion to stimulating the European economy. Greece is a minor player. They should have never been in the euro to begin with. Greece's economy has declined by over 30% in the past 6 years. In fact, 6 years ago, Greece's economy was at an all-time high, and it's questionable about why it was doing so well. There's a lot of people that think that the only reason that the Greek economy did so well in the periods of around 2009 was because a lot of money laundering were going on in there. Remember all the stuff that happened in Cyprus and these other places? Well, there was a lot of phony baloney going on in Greece as well. So maybe a lot of Eastern European and maybe some Russian money were being funneled through Greece. And that could be a lot of the reason why their economy heated up so much in like 2007, 8, 9. But it's fallen apart since then. The Greek GDP right now is back to about where it was in 2005. And you know where it is? Greece will be lucky this year to have an economy that's about $240 billion. That's billion dollars, not trillion. Billion dollars. That's why I say it's totally insignificant in light of what the European Union is doing with their more than $1 trillion in quantitative easing. Greece's GDP is about the size of the state of Louisiana. Do you go to bed at night worrying about what's happening in Louisiana? In terms of overall significance or impact that the Greece economy has on the European Union, it's about the impact that Mississippi has on the United States economy. Mississippi's our poorest state. Now, I'm not belittling the states of Louisiana or Mississippi at all. I'm just stating a fact. Louisiana has a GDP of about, I don't know, $245 million. It's more than Greece's. Mississippi is our 50th poorest state. Greece is the European Union's most poorest nation. And I know that unless you live in Louisiana or in Mississippi or somewhere on a border state, that you probably never even think of those two states. Right? People in California and people in New York, they probably couldn't find Mississippi and Louisiana on a map. So that's a comparison I want to make. That's why I don't think that Greece is going to be a problem. But I want to bring up another point here too. You know, what I think really doesn't matter, right? The markets don't care what I think and they don't care what you think. So let me rephrase this. I think these things because I'm basing my opinion, and it is just an opinion and it's no better or worse than anybody else's, but I'm basing my opinion on what I see in the marketplace, on price and volume actions within the marketplace. And I'll give you just two quick examples. And that's gold and United States 10-year treasury rates. Now, again, if you've been paying attention to this podcast, you know that in recent weeks, I was very concerned about the 10-year yield. I've been less concerned about gold. I knew it was moving up some, but I think that the overall trend in all commodities is downward, and that's going to put pressure on gold as well. So I didn't really care about gold, but I was very concerned about the 10-year U.S. Treasury rates. 10-year treasuries just in recent weeks had gotten as low as 1.65%. That's near all-time historic lows. The only time they were lower was back in the summer of, I think, 2012, just before the Federal Reserve started the third round of quantitative easing. So for them to get down that low meant that there was a lot of fear in the marketplace and that people were parking their money in U.S. treasuries because they didn't think there were any better options. U.S. treasuries are like a safe haven or a safe port. When you're concerned about something happening in the global markets, you know, when you're fearful that there's going to be any type of problems, you move your money into United States treasuries. When a lot of money goes into treasuries, the yield goes down. The price goes up, but the yield goes down. And so that's what we were watching. And the yield dropped so low that I was very, very concerned about that. But now since the European Central Bank is pumping up their quantitative easing program, the yield on the 10-year treasury has come up to just under or right at 2%. That's a very good sign. It needs to go higher. Back in the middle or the end of January, gold had spiked up. It got, maybe close to 1,300 or something like that. I don't remember if it got exactly that high, but it spiked up quite a bit right around the 20th of January, somewhere in that range. But you know what? Gold's fallen apart again. Gold's down below its 50-day moving average. Gold is hovering right now around 1200. It's maybe, I don't know, 1220, something like that. I believe it's going to keep going lower. I think it's going to break down below 12 again. Those are the reasons that I'm shaping and forming my opinions about what's happening in global markets. And again, remember those trends. Strong U.S. dollar, low oil prices. U.S. interest rates have now stabilized. They're going to be around 2% and maybe rising. Gold is going to be at or below $1,200 an ounce. Oil is going to be selling for probably under $50 a barrel. That's stability. Those are all good things. That's going to favor certain European countries. And that's why I don't think we have to be worried about Greece. You see, I'm not formulating my opinion based on a bias or a prejudice. I'm formulating my opinion based on what I'm seeing in the marketplace. I'm letting the market tell me what's happening. And then I'm reacting to that. And now this gets back to taking a profit, because I think I alluded to this at the beginning when I was talking about taking profits and things. Now, I don't think that positions that I'm invested in right now are necessarily going to skyrocket and go up 30%. I do that when I invest in individual stocks, but right now I'm playing it safer. I'm mostly in exchange-traded funds, and these are sovereign funds or funds invested in particular countries. So I'm not looking to hit a home run and make 30%. But over the course of 2 weeks or maybe over the course of 3 months, if I can make 3%, 5%, 10%, then I'll be very happy. And yes, if I can make 15 or 20 or 30%, that's even better. But I'm very content taking small and deliberate profits. Remember, we're only in February. Right now, if let's just say that I'm up 2% for the year, well, I still have 10 months to go. Inflation's running at less than 2%. So I'm already ahead of the game. See, that's the way I think. It's not about get rich quick. Think about baseball. It's not all about hitting the home runs. The home run hitters, yeah, they're the guys that get all the press and they get all the glory, but you win baseball games by putting people on base. You win baseball games by making base hits, loading up the bases, and then hitting in the home runs. And that's what we want to do in investing. We want to be wise and we want to be in this for the long term. And I don't mean we're buying and holding for the long term. I mean we're trading, we're buying and selling short term, but we're consistently making small incremental profits over weeks and over months. And we do that because we know that there are turbulent times. We know the market doesn't always go up. And so what we try and do is when we see thin ice, when we see problems in the economy, we take our profits, we go to cash, we wait things out, and then we get back in the market. That's making slow, disciplined, deliberate, and persistent movements in the market to build our wealth. That's important for you to understand. That's a wealth-building principle, and it ties in with wealth-building principles number 6 and number 7, profiting from trends and profiting from nature. I hope I didn't belabor the point, but I wanted that to make sense to you. I wanted you to see why I'm taking the positions I am and why I'm ignoring the talking heads that are worried about all the drama in Greece. Let me end by just reminding you of one thing. In 1941, Greece surrendered to Germany in less than 30 days, or about 30 days. Just like 1941, today Germany holds all the cards. Germany can go it alone. Germany doesn't need Greece. Germany doesn't need Portugal. Germany doesn't need Spain. That's going to be a stabilizing effect on the European Union. And in the coming days and weeks, maybe months, I think it's a profitable place to invest in. All the gloom and doom about Greece is overblown. Let's face it, Greece has been in decline since about 200 BC. And right now, their government can complain and get all the headlines they want, but they're insignificant. And at the end of the day, no one's going to care. Well, as always, if you want to get in touch with me, if you'd like to leave me a comment or have a question or want to express a concern, you can do that at the website, wealthsteading.com. Until our next episode, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.